good as well, as Michael said, to welcome everyone watching online on all of the different platforms. I want to talk today, as you can see from the screen behind me, how to survive an attack. Every individual, every beating heart knows what it is to be attacked. Some here have been attacked physically, some emotionally with manipulation, some mentally with people doing mind games with you, and some of us, of course, many of us spiritually attacked. I want to preach as well as teach today. I want to see what God's word says about attack, and then see how can we escape the attack. So I'm going to pray that God's Holy Spirit would move on you and on me, and that not just our minds, but that our hearts would hear what the Lord has to say. Are you okay with that prayer? If you're okay with the prayer, would you stand and pray? If you don't want to pray, that's fine. If you're just here to have a look, that's grand. We don't mind. But if you are here to pray, let's do it with all our hearts and not just half a heart. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You can lift up your hands if you want. We pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would reveal to us the word we need to hear for today. And we pray we would leave this place wiser, but more importantly, more prepared and spiritually protected for the weeks and months ahead. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's take our seats. How to survive an attack. I'm talking about mainly two guys in the Old Testament, and then just jumping around a little bit from that. We're looking at a man called Saul, who was the first king of Israel. And Israel, ancient Israel, was something, they were the people of God. Today, the people of God are those who are Christians, who love him. But when we look at Saul, we can see aspects of what was going on there for the church today. So Saul was the first king. He started out well, but he ended really badly. And the other guy is called David, a young guy, and he, if you will, comes out of nowhere, and he is called in to be with Saul. So we begin by when Saul really crossed the Rubicon, when King Saul went too far. His heart had been getting colder and colder all the time, and now his heart is rebellious against God. And he disobeyed God's word, and the prophet Samuel, who was the spiritual leader of Israel, came to him, and Samuel, the prophet, in 1 Samuel 15:23, said to Saul, "Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king of Israel." And later on it says, "Then the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit began to trouble him." It's important to remember, Saul's hardened his heart against God, maybe like some here, I don't know. And when he hardened his heart against God, he didn't want to hear what God's word was. He wanted to do his own thing. You can read it up. But when we just do our own thing and don't bring God into it, don't expect God to bless you. Anyone say amen to that?
Amen.
Because obedience brings blessing.
Yeah.
But the Bible warns us, the rebellious live in a dry and a parched land.
Yeah.
So if you are rebelling against God, your life will be dry and parched. But if you obey God, your life will be blessed.
Amen.
So, but God never rejected Saul as a person. He rejected his office, if you will. He rejected him as being king of Israel. So if, for example, I go off and do something awful that I shouldn't do, God will reject me as being a pastor, but he won't reject me as a person. However, the office I hold, I will have to let go. And so you have to think of it that way. So don't think that God rejects people, but he does withhold his blessing from them but it's their choice, not his. And of course, God's Spirit departed from him, God's favor, God's anointing, if you will, God's blessing, and an evil spirit began to trouble him. And an evil spirit will always bring trouble into someone's life, but the Holy Spirit will bring peace. He'll bring joy, he'll bring love, he'll bring patience, he'll bring kindness, he'll bring self-control. You know where I'm going? So Saul has got this evil spirit, and young David, he was about 20, maybe 21, was drafted in verse 23, and we're told, whenever the evil spirit came upon Saul, David would take the lyre, that's a guitar in today's words, and play it with his hand until Saul was calm again, and the evil spirit left him. So Saul is backslidden. Saul started really well, but he ends in a terrible way. And we are meeting him today at the beginning of the end of both his relationship with God and his life as a believer in the Old Testament. And then we see the true heart of the man come out. King Saul spoke to his son Jonathan and to all the servants, telling them that they must kill David. What? They must kill David. So all of the servants would have been shocked and confused and appalled, but only one of them had the authority, the relationship, to challenge this crazy rule that Saul had brought up. And that was his son Jonathan, a good guy. And if I have time another day, Jonathan could have lived a long life, but he was so loyal to his father, who had clearly rebelled against God. He died a young death because he couldn't differentiate between loyalty to a person and loyalty to God. He's our number one.
Amen.
Amen. So Jonathan appealed to King Saul, saying, "Don't sin against David. He hasn't sinned against you. He risked his life with Goliath for you. Don't kill an innocent man." So Jonathan makes the appeal to try and bring peace into a situation where there is death, where there is violence, where there is murder, where there is injustice. Around this time, because Saul never changed really, and around this time, David, the guy playing the guitar, the lyre, wrote Psalm 120, and in it he said, "It is so distressing that I live among the tents of Chadar. I have lived too long with people who hate peace. I love peace, but they love war." Some of us here today are living or working or studying with people who love war. And they would love war in your life. But because the Prince of Peace is the one you follow, you don't want war, you want peace. We'll say amen.
Amen.
Do you want peace?
Yes.
It's so important. So Jonathan appeals to his father. And surprise, Saul reconsidered and he changed his mind and he swore, I gotta do an accent, "As the Lord lives, David will not be killed." He makes this proclamation that David will not be killed, that he can have his life back, as if it was his to make a choice as to whether someone should live or die. Some men or women with power think they've got all the power. Oh, no, they don't. Are you afraid of a boss? Are you afraid of your husband? Are you afraid of a teacher? Are you afraid of a doctor or a lawyer? I tell you something, fear God. Fear God in a healthy, loving way, and he'll look after everything else. Don't be afraid of man. The fear of man is what, the Bible says?
A snare.
A snare. It's a trap. don't fear someone like that. This guy, King Saul, thought he was the business. And so he changed his mind. He flip-flopped on the decision. Let's interpret the Bible, the Old Testament, through the New Testament, because we are not Jews, we're Christians.
Amen. Amen.
Some of us aren't sure. God bless the Jews and all of that, but we're Christians, so we praise God for the Old Testament, but we have to interpret it through the lens of the New Testament. This is what James 1:8 says. The double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. Such a person will not receive anything from the Lord. Saul was double-minded. He didn't really know what he believed. He didn't really know what was right and wrong because he was unstable. An old word that you would hear sometimes in the English language is mercurial. There's a new word for you. Comes from mercury, the element that can change very quickly with the temperature. So Saul, nobody knew who they had at any moment. Which Saul is here today? Which Saul is having breakfast? Is it nice Saul or is it his evil twin? Who do I have today? Very difficult to live with someone like that. Because you don't know who you have. Or if they're your boss or a teacher, it's very difficult. But I'll tell you something, you have the advantage. Because you love God.
Amen.
You have God on your side. God is for you, not against you.
Amen.
The double-minded person. So now there's a ceasefire. And you can say, hey David, switch off. Peace reigns. Never trust a ceasefire with someone like this. Unless the Prince of Peace has come upon their hearts and is changing them. If someone is double-minded like this, peace is only a temporary thing. And we read just shortly after there was war again, but Saul didn't start this. It was the enemy. This is normal war, if you will. And we're told soon there was war again with the Philistines. But David fought against the enemy. He struck them down with a mighty blow, and they fled from him. So David is doing the right thing. God doesn't call us to go out and kill anyone. That's not allowed. But we are allowed to use weapons such as praise, such as prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Such as the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're called to use the gifts and the weapons that God has given us. And David, as a young man, goes out and he's not afraid and he fights the enemy. And if you read elsewhere in scripture, we read that all the young girls and women in Israel began to sing a song. And they began to sing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. Now just imagine you're Saul and you're pushing on, you're getting older, and here's this young fella who's killed tens of thousands, and all the girls who at one time were into you, now they're all into him. Saul has killed his thousands, but David killed his tens of thousands. When I was watching the news during the week, the pop star, if that's what he's known, celebrity Liam Payne, died out in Argentina, and I saw all the girls in Buenos Aires singing all the songs of his band One Direction, and I thought of Saul, and I thought of the girls in Israel singing the songs about David, not about Saul. And so is it any coincidence that right at this time, we're told in the very next verse, but then the evil spirit came upon Saul again. The trouble of the house is troubled again. You see, most houses, there's a trouble in the house. And it's usually from one person, isn't it? With most families, there's one person who tends to cause a lot of the trouble. For me growing up, it was definitely my dad. He was unstable in many ways. My mother, my brother, my sister, myself, we all tried to keep a bit of distance because we didn't know who we'd have. Some days he would be in great form, but the next day he'd be in vicious form. Looking back now, there wasn't any diagnosis. I think maybe he was a bit bipolar, I don't know. But most homes have a troubled person there. So the trouble of this house was Saul. It wasn't the kids, it wasn't his wife, it was nothing, it was Saul. And the evil spirit comes upon him because a curse comes into his life because he had rejected the word of the Lord and God's blessing and protection was gone from him. And what happens when the evil spirit comes upon him? Here we see it in verse 9 still. Saul was in his home with a spear in his hand. What on earth would you sit in your home with a weapon in your hand? Why would I sit in my home with a weapon in my hand? What's going on here? When I sit in my home, I'm sitting down to talk with my wife or listen. We're sitting down to eat some food. We're sitting down to read. We're sitting down to rest, maybe to watch a movie or something. But I'm not sitting in my home with a weapon. But Saul is. Saul has got a weapon in his hand. So one of them is sitting at home with a weapon in his hand. Who else is in the room? We're told at that time. Meanwhile, David was also at Saul's home playing music with his hand. One hand has a weapon of death. The other hand has a weapon of life. What are you holding in your hand? By God's grace, you're holding a weapon of life in your hand.
Amen.
Because praise is a weapon. We just sang it. And the old form of the guitar, that's what David was holding. So David is trying to calm Saul down. But Saul has a weapon in his hand sitting around the house. David is trying to bring peace. Do you know what Matthew 5 verse 9 says? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the children of God. Hallelujah. Blessed are the peacemakers. If you and I are peacemakers in our families, in our workplace, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, we are being blessed. We're trying to bring peace, and we bring peace because we love the Prince of Peace. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
But some people just don't want any peace. Now remember, we're peacemakers, we're not peacekeepers. There's a difference. The peacekeeper will appease the bully. The peacekeeper will put up with abuse. The peacekeeper will pull the rug over the dirt. The peacekeeper operates out of fear. The peacemaker operates out of courage. The peacemaker isn't afraid to try and challenge and change the situation, but the peacekeeper just doesn't want any hassle. There's a big difference. I pray that none of us are keepers, but that we are makers of peace. Hallelujah. And I always remember about 20 years ago, I sat with a couple, not in the church, but I sat with a couple who were both Christians, and they had gone through a terrible time in their marriage, a husband and wife, and it was really vicious. And they had so hurt each other. Both of them were crying, but their tears were hot and wild. I didn't sense any peace in that home. And it was she said, and he said, and he did, and she did. And I'm not saying it wasn't true. But I just prayed, and I prayed to the Holy Spirit. And I said, God, would you give me wisdom? How do I handle this? Because they were tearing each other apart. And they had three kids. And I remember I started with the woman of the home. I'm going to call them John and Mary, not their real names. And I said, Mary, I hear what you're saying. I really do. But after all this is said and done, do you love John? Do you love this man that you committed to for life? And she didn't know what to say for a moment, and she turned her eyes to the ground, and she whispered, I do. Straight away, something was broken. And then I went to him, and I said, John, I'm asking you the same question. I hear everything you've said, but do you love this woman, Mary, who you committed your life to? And he said, I do. And something was broken. And that marriage recovered. They're together today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The kids are reared. Praise God. But a peacemaker has to take a step of faith. A peacekeeper will deny that the husband had an affair, will deny that the wife spent all the money on alcohol or whatever. Be a peacemaker, not a peacekeeper. David was bringing peace. He was a peacemaker. And so two people are in the same situation with very different hearts. And here we go. The man who said, David will live forever. Saul tried to pin David to the wall with the weapon in his hands. He tries to pin him to the wall with the weapon in his hands. He had a weapon to kill. There is someone here, and I know this, and you are in a place that is really dangerous for you. Whether it's in your home, you're sharing up your house with someone, or whether it's work, but someone wants to kill you. So one guy has a weapon of faith, and the other fella has a weapon to bring death. You have a weapon of faith in your hand. You might say, I don't play the guitar. It's not about playing the guitar. It's about praising God. It's about bringing God into the situation. It is about overcoming evil with good. Who'll say hallelujah? I'm not just talking pie in the sky. I'm talking real, up close life and death here. I'm talking about people who want you out of the way. You see, God is our refuge and our strength.
Amen.
A very present help in troubled times.
Amen.
I had an aunt, Aunt Sheila, and back in the 1970s, she and her friends, because they were so moved by women who were beaten up by their husbands here in Cork, and back then, I was just a teenager, back then it was almost acceptable, almost, that a husband could hit his wife. It was so different to today. And some women were pulverized. And so they challenged government. I mean, to use an awful phrase, they spoke truth to power. And they challenged the city council, challenged the local politicians, challenged the businesses here. And out of nothing, they were able to build, and it's still there today, just over the river here, the first refuge for battered wives here in Cork. And it was built, it's built right next to the Bridewell Garda station or police station over by the coal camp. And they wanted to create a safe place where women who were being beaten up by their husbands wouldn't be chased and bullied. And I remember my mother was fascinated about it, saying you couldn't just walk in. You had to arrive at the door and you had to go through the police station, the Garda station, to get in there. It was really wise. Why? Because they wanted to protect the women who were being beaten up, who were bullied. Some of them within an inch of their lives. Brothers and sisters, God doesn't want anyone to remain in a situation where your life is at risk.
Amen.
Your physical life.
Yeah.
And can I say, I'm speaking about battered wives. I've met one too many battered husbands.
Mm.
Except the husbands are more ashamed to admit it. Don't let anyone bully you like that.
Amen.
Marriage and friendship should be one of mutual respect,
Amen.
Not of animosity. If we've animosity, repent. Repent, ask God to forgive you. Listen to me on Facebook, on Instagram, on YouTube. Repent. Don't let your marriage or even good friendships descend into that type of death spiral, because that's what it is. So Saul tries to kill David, but we are told David slipped away from Saul so that the spear went into the wall instead of going into David, as David made his escape. The spear ends up in the wall, not in David. Now, some people say, well, David was a young, agile warrior. He was well able to duck away from Saul trying to kill him. And Saul was an older man, probably a bit heavier, slightly slower. That's true to some degree. What was really going on was supernatural. It was not David's time. God's hand was on David. because he loved God. And God wasn't going to let a crazy fella kill him. And so God enabled David to slip through the attack. God will give you a way of escape.
Amen.
And maybe part of your way of escape is here today. Is it just this? Is this isolated? No, it's all over the Bible. Let me give you one from the New Testament with Jesus himself. The Jews of Nazareth were furious with Jesus, so they dragged him to the edge of the cliff, and they're about to throw him off, but Jesus just passed through the angry crowd, and he left them behind. He just walked through. This is supernatural, brothers and sisters. So what happened with David? That is the first way of escape. Call on the Holy Spirit. Ask God to deliver you from your trouble. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
Do you know what? I'm going to pray right now. If you are in trouble, or if there's someone in your workplace, school, or at home, and you know they've got a weapon of war aimed at you, might be mental with mind games, it might be emotional with manipulation, it might be physical, it might be spiritual. We're going to pray God will protect you. Would you stand where you are? Just where you are, stand, and we're going to, if this is you, if it's you, may not be you, but if it's you, it's not a general call, but just for those who, would you lift your hands up to the heaven? Come, Holy Spirit, deliver our brothers and sisters from the weapon that is fashioned against them. We declare, no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
We pray peace, but we pray miraculous escape as well. May God deliver you. And may you live to tell the truth that when I was in the day of trouble, I was rescued by the one who loves me. I declare life, and I declare and speak over you, escape from that trouble. May God stop the one who wants to cause you trouble. In Jesus' name, and all who prayed the prayer said,
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Let's take our seats. Jesus, David slipped away, and Jesus slipped away. Number one, supernatural. Why was Saul this way? Let's just understand. Why was Saul this way? Saul was jealous of David. Hang on a while. Saul was a man in his prime. Saul was the king. Why was he afraid of a skinny young fella who came in from the sheepfold? What was going on? We got to understand Saul. While Saul started out well spiritually, we do know that there was a vanity in the man deep down. We're told in 1 Samuel 9:2, Saul was a lot taller and more handsome than any other man in all of Israel. If you saw his Instagram account, they were full of selfies, baby. And TikTok was all videos, not of anyone else, just of himself. The man was vain. Here's the truth. A lot of people struggle in our media-saturated culture where people's photographs are doctored and filtered out, and everyone, nobody has a pimple anymore, do they?
Yeah.
I never met anyone online who had acne or wrinkles. They're all disappeared. Do you know what? Sometimes the good-looking people have the most trouble in life. That's my experience. I don't mean it's my experience. I have struggled with my good looks. It's my experience of genuine good-looking people. They struggle more sexually because they're hit on more. They have way more temptation. So as Christians, they struggle more. But equally, because they knew what it was to get the attention, and they knew what it was for people to give them a second look, it became natural. As they get older, guess what starts to fade away? Your good looks. And people don't give you the second look, and you almost become invisible. And for some, there is a struggle spiritually comes in, And I have seen people become desperate to try and get something back of their youth. And therein lies the path to death. Therein lies the trap that will destroy your soul. A genuine person is not obsessed with how they look on the outside. But we should be very taken up with who we are inside. We'll say amen.
Amen.
Looks are temporary and they go so fast. But your soul will live forever.
Amen.
Forever. Amen. Our faces will come and go, but our souls will live forever. Those who reject Jesus will go to hell and live there forever. But those who accept Jesus will go to heaven and live with him forever. Hallelujah. Let the body and the face fade away, because you know what? The real you inside will shine out even more.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So Saul really struggled with the fact that his good looks and his also perfect abs or whatever were fading. And he was looking across at this young fella, David, and look what the Bible says about him. 1 Samuel 16. Now, David was a handsome young man with beautiful eyes. Don't get the beautiful eyes, whatever that has to do with anything. It also says another guy, a servant in Saul's house, made this declaration about David. David of Bethlehem is a great musician, a brave warrior, wise in his speech, nice personality, and the Lord is with him. Boom, 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 boom. Your Saul, you were all over Instagram and you had 3 million people looking at your lovely body or your lovely face, and now you're on Instagram and there's only 12 people looking at you and they're all ancient. And you're looking across at this guy playing the guitar. And here's this young man and you're going, he's handsome. He's lovely eyes. Great musician, a brave warrior, wise in what he says, a nice personality, his temperament was wise and easy to get on with. And the killer blow is that God was with him. If God is for us, who can be against us? One with God is a majority. Remember, Saul knew the Lord's Spirit had left him. So David was everything Saul really wanted to be. All the girls were into David. All the girls were singing about him. And Saul was yesterday's has-been. Instead of growing older gracefully and shining from the inside out, he would have been even more popular, more attractive, more sought out, if we're going down that road, because of his wisdom and his kindness and his spirituality. But instead, he is locked in a time warp. He peaked when he was 21 or 22, and now he wants still to be 22. But you know what? You were born in the year you were born for a purpose. There is a lie in the culture that says, don't get old. Rubbish. I almost said another word. Rubbish. You were born in the year God wanted you to be born. That means you were born for such a time as this. God wants you to be in your 80s in 2024, or in your 20s, or in your 40s, or your 50s, or your 60s in 2024. This is God's plan. Be at peace with God's plan for your life. And then the best of you will come out. Someone asked me recently, I was at a pastor's thing about a month ago, and I was asked, what was the best time of your life? I said, now is the best time of my life. Yeah. And I could see him. He was younger. He was going, you at the last? He said, we're alive. This is the best time of my life. Hallelujah. Because I'm at peace that I was born in the year 1960. That's when God determined I should be born. And I know I'm called to be here for such a time as this. So are you.
Yeah.
Let no one despise your youth. Let no one despise your age. Because you know what? There's no retirement in the kingdom of God. Not really. God will keep using us until we draw our last breath. We surrender to him, he'll use us. But you see, Saul couldn't get that because he wanted to be 21 again. And God said, you're not 21. That was just a season you were in. Honestly, and I say this before God and before you, if a genie came out of a bottle and said, an angel, okay, we'd be biblical, and an angel said, what's your wish, Tom? Would you like to be 21 again? Oh my gosh, no way, Jose. Honestly, I'm not lying. I don't want to be 21. I don't want to be 31 or 41. I am so happy at 17. Hey! Be at peace with when you were born, because that's the time God has for you. So he is so jealous of David. Second way you can escape an attack, and this is what David did. He ran from Saul, went to his wife, and that night his wife said to him, if you don't escape now, you'll be dead tomorrow. So she let him out through a window, and he ran. David's wife was Saul's daughter. She knew what her father was like. She knew the kind of guy he was. And so her advice saved his life. Brothers, our wives protect us. Would the married men say amen?
Amen.
Okay, Michael said it enthusiastically, I'm not sure. How about we hear that again? Would the married men say amen?
Amen.
There's one or two there. Would the married men say amen?
Amen.
Okay. Sisters, your husbands protect you.
Amen.
Can the married women say amen?
Amen.
Okay, a little bit more. Praise God. Jenny, the 10 o'clock crowd were wild when I said that. If we're not married, that's okay. Not everyone is called to be married. But we need to have a good friend who's for us, who loves us, and who look out for us. And sometimes, whether we're married or not, it's good to have a good friend as well. Amen?
Amen.
And so we need someone who speaks wisdom in our lives. That is the second way we can escape an attack. Hear the person God has put in our lives and listen to their advice. Because when they advise us, it should be life-giving. And we trust them because of that. And the third way is that after he went out the window, David didn't just go down the beach or something. David escaped from Saul and he went to Samuel, the guy we met at the very start, where he told him all that Saul had done for him. You see, David had to skip a generation. Saul was his father's generation. His own dad wasn't that good. His own dad obviously had a bit of an issue with David. He was jealous of him, didn't like him, whatever, if you read into it. So there was no one of that generation that David could trust. So he skipped a generation and he went to his granddad's generation. And Samuel was an older man, like his grandfather. But he knew Samuel loved God. And Samuel was the prophet, the spiritual leader in the land. And so David went to him and he got protection with Samuel. He got good advice and he got a bit of love. And we all need a bit of love, don't we?
Yes.
I don't really. Yes, you do.
Yes,
you do. No, I'm a tough fella. Yes, you do. No, I'm an independent woman. Yes, you do. We all need a bit of love. So he got a bit of love, he got a bit of comfort, and he got good advice, and he got protection, and he went to a grandfather type. I make a declaration. In every church, we need every generation in the church. A church that has no grandmothers or grandfathers is a church like a bird flying with one wing. I know it because I was saved into a church where we were all 19 and 20, almost all of us. And the church was quite dysfunctional because there really wasn't older people who had wisdom there really at the time. But equally, a church that has no young people is missing the vitality and the energy and the future that young people bring. We need the young people. We need the mums and dads. We need the grandmothers and the grandfathers. And maybe it's because I'm a granddad, but I declare, sometimes we got to go to the grandmothers or the grandfathers. Amen?
Amen?
Sometimes we do. And so he went to him, and this was another way of escape. So David had three issues going on that all helped him live, that all helped him to survive and escape the attack. And so David went on to become the king of Israel. And if you read on, there's a very interesting verse. I quote it to myself, I'd say, every couple of weeks of my life. The house of Saul grew weaker and weaker, and the house of David grew stronger and stronger. I read it first in the King James Version. The house of Saul waxeth weaker, and the house of David waxeth stronger. In other words, Saul, even when he was still rebelling against God, he kept on, and David refused to kill him. But God was with David, and so the blessing, the anointing, the miracles, the favor of heaven kept being poured on David, and he began to prosper and to thrive. But God has set his face against Saul. But it didn't just happen overnight. There was a season of a number of years. But Saul got weaker and weaker, and then he was killed. Actually, it was a terrible death. You can read into it. But David, I often think of this as well, had a wonderful death. Read that one up as well, as an old man. David was blessed by God. He made mistakes, but he repented and God used him. So David learned how to survive and escape the attack. And that's my prayer for us here today. So to recap, supernatural escape, or partners, or a good friend, or an older mentor, or an older believer in our lives, a grandmother or grandfather. Here are three of different ways that you and I can survive an attack. This is the cue for the bands. Thank you, guys.
The next slide is the one you said.
Oh, yes, sorry. Okay. No, that's the last slide. There we go. From the woman caught in adultery to Peter in prison, I challenge you and I ask you a question. I ask you a question. Show me in the Bible where God didn't deliver those whom he loved. I challenge you. Where in the Bible did God leave one of his children just die a miserable death? We see when it was God's will, he brought them to the way of escape. So we're going to pray that for your life, that you would escape. We prayed it already for those in the life situation, but we're going to pray it for those moving forward, for me and for you. What's in your hand? What are you going to hold up? I pray that you and I will be the brave peacemakers, and we'll hold up a weapon of peace, not a weapon of war. That we will be life givers and not death givers. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
We're going to sing the song, Would You Stand? It's called Praise. We sang it earlier. Praise is a weapon. When I'm outnumbered, when I'm surrounded, let's sing it and then we'll pray.
I praise when I feel it. I praise when I don't. I praise cause I know you're still in control. Cause praise is a weapon. It's more than a sound. I praise is the shout that brings terror down. As long as I'm breathing, I got it.
are in a situation where your mental health, your emotional health, your physical or spiritual health is in danger, God is able to do a miraculous work.
Amen.
And guide your feet out of that situation. If you want that in your life, if you've never experienced, we're going to pray for that. I'm going to ask you, if you have never experienced it, would you put up your hand? Put up your hand if that's not. And we're going to pray for you in just a moment. We're going to pray as well for those of us who want either a mentor, an older person, or we want God to raise up a partner for us or a friend for us that will help us survive an attack. We're going to pray that as well, that God would raise that up for you. Would you lift up your hand if that's you? You're just praying for that. I see your hands. Praise God. So let's lift up our hands and we're going to pray now in the name of Jesus. I pray escape would be your inheritance supernaturally.
Amen.
And I pray, oh God, that when the enemy comes against us one way, he would flee from
Amen.
Us in seven different directions.
Amen.
We pray now, oh God, that we would taste and see that you help us not only to have a good life, but to escape the attack of the evil one. So I pray now that supernatural escape would be your inheritance. I pray God would raise up a husband, a wife, a friend who would be like Michal, David's wife to him. And I pray God would raise up an older mentor, a grandmother, a grandfather for you that you can go to. Open the doors now, Lord, in the spiritual places so that my brothers and sisters can avail of all your escape plans into their lives. In Jesus' name, and God's people said,
Amen.
I have one last prayer. And my last prayer is this. God is challenging some of us to be a peacemaker. A peacemaker. That we can be courageous. And even though it means we've got to step over some politically correct stuff, that we can bring life and not death. And this is a challenge, because you gotta have a bit of courage to be a peacemaker and not be a peacekeeper. So I'm going to ask, who here wants to be a peacemaker for the months to come? If that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Okay, I see your hands. This is a brave prayer. And it really will mean that sometimes you lose face. Sometimes it's as if you're going to cause offense. But in my experience of 44 years, nobody really takes offense. The genuine people will bless the day that you will be the peacemaker in their lives. The Bible says, rebuke or advise a fool and they'll hate you. But rebuke or advise a wise person and they love you. So I'm going to ask you to come forward, those who are ready to be peacemakers among friends, among family, even among neighbors, even in the church sometimes. Could you make your way up to the top so I can lay hands on you as the guys sing the song one last time? Come up, the peacemakers.
I praise 'cause you're sovereign. I praise 'cause you reign. I praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I praise 'cause you're faithful. I praise 'cause you're true. I praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. I praise 'cause you're sovereign. I praise 'cause you reign. I praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I praise 'cause you're faithful. I praise 'cause you're true. I praise 'cause there's
I'm not afraid to die.
peacemaker. Let's lift up our hands, all those who are willing to say that to the Lord today. I pray in Jesus' name that you would get a courage that is not natural to your personality. Can you say amen to that? I pray, oh God, that none of us here will just walk into a situation in our own strength. But I pray that the Holy Spirit would guide you, would reveal to you, and would give you the discernment of spirits so that you will know when you need to speak truth to power. You will know when you will need to be not politically correct, and you will know when you will need to challenge a lie that doesn't come from God. So may a supernatural courage come into your mind and into your heart and into your emotions and into your physical bones. And I pray that your circle of friends, the atmosphere would change for the better in Jesus' name. I pray into your family that the atmosphere in your family, that it would change because you are bringing peace with you into that relationship. And it's not just not having war, it's challenging the lies that destroy the people you love. So I pray now a release into your soul, a release into your future. Blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. Bring good news to those you love, to those in your life. Bring good news to the workplace. Bring good news into your school. May you be the peacemaker to change the destructive message that is in the culture. And I declare Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9 over you. Blessed are you, the peacemaker, because you are the son or the daughter of God. So over all these children of God, may the Lord go before you, and may you change atmospheres in Jesus' mighty name. Bridget, I know the Lord wants to speak to you. Bridget, can you come forward? Hallelujah. Just lift up your hands. Koraba, lisita la bashuta de vadam, ureke de la botosondoro makita shevotola. And the Lord would say, Bridget, I saw this. You were sitting in a circle and you heard people speaking lies about themselves. They were desperate people in a self-destructive trap. And God is going to say to you today, Bridget, His Holy Spirit is coming upon you. And in a quiet way and in an unassuming way, you're going to speak brave words to the people in this circle, and they're going to be words of life. And the Lord is saying to you now, do not be afraid of what you say. Open your mouth, and my Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak truth, to speak release, to speak life. God is with you, Bridget, and He's going to use you greatly, because your words will bring peace into people's lives. And Jesus is saturated over this, and He's all over you because He wants to use you greatly. Bless our sister Bridget, Lord, and let her move forward in this new opening in her life in Jesus' mighty name. And God's people said,
Amen.
Hallelujah. There is someone else here, and you came in here this morning with a heavy heart. I don't know if you're up here or down there. You came in here with a heavy heart because there's a friend who you care about, and they're in a destructive mode and you don't know what to do. And this is what the Lord would say. He's challenging you and He's saying, you do know what to do. Speak Jesus. Speak Jesus to them. You will be the one. And I saw a key over some people's heads. And God said, the key to unlocking the self-destruction in the person you care about, this friend, is you speaking Jesus into their lives. Telling the truth with sincerity and courage. Who is that person, or who are those people? You came in here with your heart heavy about a friend. I want you to lift up your hand, because it's not going to work unless you own it. Who's got the courage to just lift up your hand, okay? If that's you, I want you to stay up here as the other guys go back to their seats. And if you're down there and it's you, I want you to come up. Can you move forward if that's you? We want to just lay hands on you. That you will speak words of life to your friends, to your circle. Whoa, praise God. Hallelujah. Just lift up your hands, guys. And I'm just going to move through you before we close. And I just want to pray a release. A release into your soul. A release into your heart. A release into your mind. May God give you courage. May God give you wisdom. And may the burden of this person that you care about be lifted off of your soul. And I pray that you, the peacemaker, would bring these challenging words that will deliver the person you care about from this self-destructive trap that they're in. Come, Holy Spirit. I pray a release now. And I also pray you would give each one a wisdom and give them the right time to say the words you've called them to say. Could I ask everyone else, just put a hand forward, just stretch a hand forward as we do this final prayer for the guys who came up. This is true, and I know this. The enemy is distracted at the thought of you having the courage to speak words like that. So we're going to pray finally that when the doubt comes into your mind, not from God, but from the devil, that it will go in one ear and out the other. Can you say amen to that? Just lift up your hands one last time, guys. I stop the words of the enemy that would bring doubt into your soul, and I release the word of God that will give you courage to say and to be a real friend to that person. May God release you, and may you hear God's truth and not the lies of Satan, because his native language is lies. May God give you the words of truth. And may you do it with courage. Amen. And as you think of that person, we pray God restore that person. Or bring them to faith. And may they survive and thrive in the future, because you raised up a good friend for them, even here today. In Jesus' name, amen.